Hey guys, good to be with you here today. Have you ever had somebody look at you and say, well, you'll never know until you
ask,
try, or until you ask? And I think it just struck me that from time to time in my life, and I know in some of our lives, we've had that moment where we thought, man, if I could just step out and try that thing, or be bold enough to ask somebody about this. But sometimes we just hold back on that. And we're going to talk about that today to see what some breakthrough kind of things could happen in your life and in my life. Because here it is. You'll never know
until you ask.
Up here today with me, we've already talked about him a little bit, is Byron Lucas. He's the man, the myth, the legend. He's been at our church. You guys been here how long now, Byron?
Been here a while. I've been over here almost 10 years
about
now.
About 10 years and stuff, yeah. Years. Byron has served in high school, small group ministries, taught with our fourth, fifth, sixth grade kids for a while. I know Byron to be a man of character and integrity. And we were a couple of months ago, I was sitting at my house with a bunch of guys that we get together once a month and do some study and stuff on leadership and all that. And he got fired up about this part of the Bible from Matthew chapter 8. So if you're not there yet, find Matthew chapter 8. We're taking a detour out of 1 Peter today. We'll come back to it next week. But Byron and the guys got so fired up and excited about it. And the more we talked about it, I thought, we got to get Byron up here to talk about it, not just Steve to be the mouthpiece for Byron and do all that kind of stuff. So Byron's here with us, man. Byron, say hey to everybody.
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing today?
Everybody say hey to Byron on the screen, all that guy. Hey, good. Glad you're here with us. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to jump right in, because you'll never know until you ask. Jesus, today, as we gather around the Bible, God, encounter us with this. Challenge us with this. Encourage us with this. Oh, we're in a crazy season still. We're all going to remember where we were in 2020 when all these various things have happened. And so right now, today, God, with the election still being in a transition phase and all that, some of us are excited about that. Some of us are not so excited about where it appears to be heading. God, wherever we're at, speak to us. Encourage us in our hearts. And no matter where we find ourselves emotionally, spiritually today, God, we're calling out to you to do something boldly in our lives. We're here to boldly ask you, our God, to do some things. God, I pray for each person who will be here with us today that's looking on a screen right now on the live stream, whenever and wherever they're watching this, God, that you will put us a seed of bold faith in their heart to just to come boldly to you and ask for some big things. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 5. We're going to be reading out of several different translations today. The words will be up on the screen here, down probably at the bottom, down here somewhere there. But you'll be able to follow along just fine in whatever particular translation of the Bible you use. It says there, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to Jesus and said his servant was grievously tormented with palsy.
Yeah, so we pick up this story in Matthew 5, and we're talking about this centurion. And the first question that kind of rings out is, who's the centurion? Like, yeah. Where does he come from? What
is a centurion?
What is a centurion? And yeah. We know a centurion to be, it's a Roman soldier, a Roman military officer.
Yeah.
Roughly about 80 to 100 men usually kind of fall up under his command. We know that he's not our typical biblical scholar. He's an unchurched individual. He's not a children of Israel. But over in Luke, we actually understand that he loves the children of Israel. It says it there to the fact that he built the synagogue.
So this is a different kind of guy than the Roman soldiers who ordinarily would be under occupation in Israel.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. And we're in the story and we hear him say that he's coming to his servant's side, that he's looking for some assistance for his servant.
Okay.
So the first thing we kind of find out is that he actually cares. And I think a lot of us, we care about a lot of things that happen on a day to day, you know, from we watch television, we watch the news, A few years ago, we had a situation, a tsunami that happened overseas. We had Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans, and we care about those things. And I think it's really cool to see that this servant, he came because he cared. But he not only cared, he cared enough to go seek out help. And that was the kind of his next transition. He cared to seek out help. And I think a lot of times we often help people day to day. And I mean, I get people that'll send me, hey, Byron, I'm kind of looking for a job or looking for, you know, a position or something. And they'll say, hey, I got this resume. You mind if you could kind of, you know, hit it off to somebody? And I'm like, absolutely. Send it to me. I'll take a look at it. And it may not, you know, end up to that exact person, but I will definitely send it out, you know, for some help. But then he takes it to another level. Not only that he cares, not only that he cares enough to seek out help, he cares enough to seek out help from someone who could help.
Which is a big deal.
Which is a big deal.
Because somebody comes to me to repair something.
So, I mean, you know, if you're driving home, you know, you're going somewhere and your transmission is knocking, you know, you probably don't want to go by American Tire. You probably want to go by a transmission shop. You know, I worked for DirecTV a long time ago. And one of the questions that would always pop up, you know, you know, the wall jack is here. And usually the people's TVs are never like right behind where the jack is at. And the outlet is like somewhere else. So, you know, they taught us, you know, started out with DirecTV, you know, you staple the cable down to the bottom and you kind of run it to the edge of the wall.
Okay.
And I was always getting these people that would tell me, they'd be like, hey, hey, sir, could you do me a favor? How about, you know, you run that wall, run this cable through down my wall? And I'm like, I'm just a DirecTV guy, you know, and I'm like, I'm a pretty big guy, so I don't really know if you want me up in your attic. I really don't know how this story is going to go, you know, and typically there's like a fire break somewhere in there, and I got to go get this really long drill bit, and I might hit a power line and shut off your power, so you probably want somebody a little bit more experienced than me.
Someone who actually can help, not someone who just wants to help, but someone who actually can.
Absolutely.
And Byron, you were saying something else earlier, we were chatting about this week. That it's weird that he cares for his servant.
It is, because in this day and age that he necessarily really wouldn't care for his servant. I mean, this is somebody who obviously he's a commanding officer of some sort. He has servants up under him. He has soldiers. He could have very well said, you know what, you know, just go put him outside somewhere else and we'll just bring somebody else in to support. And but it's just, it's curious enough to know that he actually cared. So we're actually talking about somebody not just want to rule with an iron fist, but somebody who actually cares.
Cares, Servants back then would be more like equipment.
Absolutely.
Once you just, if it breaks down, you just go get a new one, and there's a guy who's doing things differently here. So we're getting a sense of who this guy is.
Absolutely.
That's good,
absolutely.
And
one of the first questions that we bring up is, do you care enough about someone else to take it to Jesus? I think a lot of times we bring stuff to our spouses, to our friends, you know, to our coworkers,
to Twitter, to Facebook,
But the one thing that we really never do is take the time out and say, you know what? Instead of me complaining about it, instead of me trying to just get someone to agree with my thought process, that I'm going to bring it to the person who can help, and that's Jesus.
Well, and I love to hear the idea that not just caring about my needs and bringing my needs to Jesus, but once in a while looking around, go, where's somebody else out there? I mean, I wonder if any about out there in your life, you know, somebody who's grievously tormented right now with sickness, with finances, with the results of what's going on in our country right now. There's people that are really grievously tormented. Rather than just write those people off or whatever, what if we took some time to not just talk about our stuff, but we brought somebody else and their concerns to Jesus, to ask Jesus about that. Because the big thing we're talking about today is you never know
until you ask.
Until you ask. Everybody say that with me. We're going to do it together on the screen here again. You'll never know
until you ask.
There we go. So there's the situation. There's the people that are involved. Look at verse 7 now. This is awesome. Jesus replied, I'll come and heal him. Has the servant even asked him to do anything yet? Has the centurion. He hasn't asked, he just has, all we know is, he knows the situation. What I love this here too, is we get a glimpse at the heart of God. For those of you that had parents that were just always kind of annoyed with you, Or maybe you grew up with this idea of that you are, that God was always just very, either very angry with you, or just like, there he goes again. Well, we get a different picture of the heart of God. The heart of God here is he's eager. Before the guy even makes a prayer request to Jesus, Jesus, I'll come, I'll heal him. We have a God who's anxious to step into your life, wants to hear, wants to talk about those things, is eager to come and help and bless and answer prayers. And I love it. It's over in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. It's just a page to the left in your Bibles. Jesus is going to tell us that your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask. Before you ask, he knows what you need. In fact, in that Sermon on the Mount, what's just happened before these couple of miracles we read in Matthew chapter 8, Jesus has said some other things in there related to asking that we were chatting about by ourselves.
Yes, we were chatting about it. And, over in, on the Sermon on the Mount, it was, verses that we're all familiar with. It's, knock and the door shall be open, seek and you shall find. And it's just the story that we kind of came up with was like, what are the chances that a servant, maybe one of the centurions, people who was up under him may have heard this and have provided that information back to him.
Yeah, maybe they're the big, huge crowd out there and they're the security detail to keep things. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So it's just interesting how that story just happened. And now that he's going to the Jewish leaders and seeking Jesus out to help this servant.
Yeah. And so it's great here. God knows what we need before we even ask. He's eager to help. And so sometimes the thing comes up, well, then why do we pray? If the infinite God knows what I need before I ask him, nothing's a surprise to him, why do we pray? And part of that reason is because God's smarter than you. And he tells you, ask me about stuff. And I wonder if sometimes God goes, the only way these fools are ever going to ever have a conversation with me is to ask me about things. So he says, I'll take it. Just come ask me about stuff. In fact, Jesus' little brother, James, says it this way. He says, the reason you don't have what you want is because you haven't asked God about it. You may have talked about it out there. You may have asked a lot of other people about it. Sometimes the reason you don't have what you want is because you haven't asked. See, because you'll never know until you
ask.
Amen. Is what you got to step into. We have a God who's eager to help. Amen. Story continues.
So the story continues. The centurion replied, he said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. Hmm. I think some translations, they say, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come to my house. And then he could have very easily, in the position that he was in, he could have very easily ordered Jesus to come.
Yeah.
Under the Roman, control and everything that was going on.
Yeah.
But we kind of go back to the fact that, in Luke 7, he kind of mentions that he built a synagogue, that he loved the children of Israel. So it seems like he's familiar with the culture of what's going on. Hmm. And the question I kind of have for the folks here today is, what do you feel unworthy about? Hmm. What's going on in your life that you just feel like that you can't go to God about it? Hmm. Is it your past? Is it something that you did that you just like, Byron, I can't go there. Some of the partying, some of the things that you just feel so hurt and downtrodden about, and you're just like, I can't do it. And maybe it's you don't feel unworthy of Jesus coming into your house. Maybe you're okay with Jesus coming to your house. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, I'm good with Jesus actually coming into my house and hanging out. You know why? Because, I go to church on Sundays.
Yeah.
I go to a small group, I host a small group, I hang out, I serve, and I go to high school ministry and children's ministry, and I do a lot of these things. And I think a lot of times we get caught up and we say that, Jesus is okay with being in my house.
He's in my life. My life is like a house.
Absolutely.
I've invited him in. I'm a Christian. Yeah, he's in my house.
He's in my house. But there are some rooms in my house that don't quite get open up too much.
Uh-oh.
There are some rooms up to the top left, there's some rooms that, Jesus got to, get in there and start to clean out, And there's a lot of rooms that, we kind of listed here. I got, in that first room up to the left is probably the hurt room. Hmm. And I call it the hurt room because one of the things that we've heard in our world today is that hurt people.
Yeah.
And they pass it on and they pass it on. Even the pride room, that pride room, that room where people want you to vote a certain way. People want you to, you know, do the things that they do.
Because, of course, they're the one that knows it all and has it all figured out.
You know, so you drive a Chevy, you should drive a Chevy.
If the whole world was more like me, the whole world would be a better place, right?
Absolutely.
What about that latch, that room where you know, that thing that you go in the hallway and you pull down that thing and that stairway flips down up into the...
Absolutely. And we got that room. That's the... someone told me that I would never amount to anything room. Hmm. And it's just crazy that there's a lot of rooms in our lives that we just won't let Jesus open up.
Yeah.
We just won't let him go into. And another question I just want to ask everybody today
is... This is the second question. Write this down. If you're taking notes today, whether you have a note sheet downloaded or you're just taking notes on something, question number two today
is, what area of your life or what room do you need to give Jesus access to?
Hmm.
What is it? What are you struggling with? Which one of those rooms that you know for a fact that hasn't been open in a long time?
Yeah.
Which one of those rooms that you know that, God, I can't go there room.
Yeah.
And I know one of those rooms that I think a lot of us have is that forgiveness room.
Hmm.
That's a room that, God, I just can't go there. You just don't understand. And God, that I just don't know how to get through that room.
Yeah.
And I think that's a room for a lot of us that we have to slow down and speak to and figure out. It's not going to happen overnight. It may not happen in a year. It may not happen in 5 years.
Yeah.
But that's going to take some time for somebody to actually get in there and work in their room.
Yeah.
But like you said in the title of the message, you never know
until you ask. And I think I wonder, too, the idea of this servant is grievously tormented. And one of us have those rooms in our life, in our house, and it's just sitting there, and we just don't get close to it because it's just got our heart and mind and soul and body just grievously tormented, and we just don't know. I don't want to go in there because I'm too scared of what I'll find in there. It's too difficult for me. Jesus is going, would you let me come in there and take care of that for you? That's been grievously tormenting you. I know in our small groups a couple weeks ago, some of the questions we were dealing with and the topic we were dealing with, so many of you stepped out in faith and said, all right, let's crack that door open. Let's deal with some stuff that I need to deal with here. It's not always pretty. It's not always, can be kind of weird at times to do that. It makes us feel awkward. Jesus wants to meet you there and tell you, look, I am eager to come to your house. And look, here's the deal. He already knows what's in the room. Who do you think you're fooling? You may be fooling your spouse. You may be fooling your children, your coworkers, your small group people. Jesus is going, dude, I know what's in the house. Let's just deal with it. Story continues now. The centurion says, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve to have you come to my house. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. What's fascinating here is he feels like, I'm not worthy for this, but I know someone who is. He says, you just say the word, Jesus.
Yeah, and I believe that Jesus knew, I believe that the centurion knew authority.
Yeah.
He understood, being a military person, commands.
How many military people out there?
Right.
Been in the military, folks? Used to be in the, you know what this is like, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, when you're chain of command or you got rank structure, when a order is given, it's carried out. You know, if I'm in the Marine Corps and my gunny says, hey, look, I need those vehicles moved over there and cleaned up by 1300. He doesn't go check.
That's 1 p.m. for those of you that.
Right. he doesn't go check. He just knows that I gave a order. I told my men to go do something, or women to go do something, and it's going to go get done. So it's interesting to see that what he says in that, he says, for I myself am a man under authority, which tells us that he felt like Jesus was somebody of authority, somebody that could carry this mission out, somebody that could, I don't need you to come to my house. I don't need you to come lay hands. I just need you to say the word.
Just say the word. Like, so never having been in the military, you were given orders from time to time. Did the commanding officer ever go with you guys to make sure it got done?
No. Great story. One of the experiences I had, we were getting ready to go, I believe, on our second deployment overseas.
Okay.
And we knew the commandant of the Marine Corps was flying in. So they got us out here on the flight deck.
Commandant. That's like
the man, the highest up. You know, there's nobody else. He was it. Himself and the sergeant major of the Marine Corps, they were flying in. So you got this humongous like regiment of folks out there, hundreds of people. We're getting ready to deploy. And we're all in formation. And you see this jet circle, and this jet comes and lands, and commandant gets off, and Sergeant Major Marine Corps gets off, and you know, we all come to attention, and he does his spiel, and hey guys, you're at the tip of the spear, go serve our country, go rah, 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 and we're all ready to go.
Yeah.
And at the very end, he says, group attention, and we go, gosh, we lock up, and he says, last time I checked, you know, I got some stars up here, and there's gonna be some birds, and there's gonna be some other people that's gonna be highly upset about what I'm getting ready to say. Now, mind you, it's like, you know, 9:10 on a Wednesday morning, and we're like deploying within the next week. And he says, Marines, since you're my Marines, he said, report back to work at 07 Monday morning.
Oh.
Now, mind you, there was a group of us. And this group at this very moment was split because half the group was like, hey, let's go get a picture with the United States Marine Corps Commandant. Or the, you know, Sergeant Major. And the other half was like, dude, when he says dismiss, run. So me and a couple of buddies, we both did. We took off. He was like, dude.
So where's your, you don't have a picture then?
No, I wish I did. I wish I did.
Because he had that authority. What he spoke just made it happen.
It meant it.
And didn't matter what everybody else said or
because
did.
Because if anybody would have called me, I would have been like, hey, look, Commandant of the Marine Corps said we don't have to be back at work until Monday. So yes.
With that authority. But even with knowing that Jesus has the, see, knowing Jesus has the authority, is not enough. It's knowing he has the authority, having the boldness, the faith to step out and ask, because you'll never know until you ask. Look at verse 10 there. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He was amazed and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. You know what's fascinating about that? Matthew is a Jewish man. Matthew, being a Jewish man, Jewish culture, is his primary intended audience to read his version of Jesus' story is different than Mark, Luke, and John. They all write to the Greeks, the Romans, and then just a worldwide audience. Matthew, his intended audience is Jewish people. And he just told them, he just told these Jewish readers, these people that thought they were the insiders, I haven't found faith in Israel, like I just saw in this hated Roman centurion. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place, there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's fascinating when you study this and climb inside this. Back in Matthew 4, Matthew has told us that Jesus has done a lot of miracles, but no specific stories or anything. Just he did miracles here, there, and everywhere. All kinds of people were following him. Massive crowd forms up, so he does the big Sermon on the Mount. That's Matthew 5, 6, and 7. The very first two specific miracles where he tells us the details about them are about outsiders. The first miracle of a specific nature he tells is about a leper. About a person with leprosy. In that culture, he's a total outsider, excluded from society, cursed by God, have nothing to do with him. And then he, as an illustration of great faith, does not tell a miracle about a Jewish person with faith. He tells about a Roman centurion to a Jewish audience. And he's saying, look, I think this might be good for us in our culture right now to just catch our breath a little bit and go, be really careful not to judge a book by its cover. Be very careful to not judge a person by how they did or did not vote or what their stance are on certain issues. This centurion was hated by the Jewish people. And Jesus says, that guy is on the inside. And a lot of you fools that think you're on the inside are going to find yourself on the outside. He's amazed at this faith. And it's fascinating that Matthew, writing for Jewish people, for insiders, tells a story of outsiders to let us know that Jesus is here for everybody. He's not just here for the people that just come to our church, the people that just vote the way I do, into my little narrow circle of who I think is right with God. He says, Jesus is here for everybody. And to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed, bam, at that very moment.
And it's crazy because it says that Jesus was amazed and marveled.
Yeah.
It takes quite a bit to amaze Jesus, the person that knows all. And that he said, again, no one in Israel, he had found such faith. So it's just crazy, the thought process is that, you know, you have the leaders of that time who were going to the synagogues each week, who were, you know, paying their tithes, who are, reading the Torah, who are doing
memorizing
the
Torah. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, all the things that they're doing, but he goes back to, you know, this centurion, he makes that comment. And I think at that very moment, what you get is that Jesus probably, I felt like, he may have smirked a little bit. He might have been like, this guy actually realizes that I don't necessarily need to go lay hands. I can actually give a word. He probably was like, but he doesn't even know that I know, but we know. And it's just crazy that he just, you know, nobody else up until this point is that he could just say the word.
Yeah.
About my third year in the Marine Corps, a good buddy of mine, he was actually best man at my wedding. His name was Miguel Pedraza. He was from Florida. And keep in touch from time to time. I hope he's doing well. But we're on a deployment and we're on a ship. And our berthing space, and it was about 9-10 of us in this little tiny berthing space. And right next to us was this group of Marine recon guys who would always walk by and like bang stuff and knock on stuff and, hey, you knuckleheads, wake up, or whatever it was.
Teenagers.
Exactly. And what was interesting about this story, like I said, his name is Miguel Pedraza. And one of these guys walked by one day and said something in Spanish.
Okay.
And as he says something in Spanish, he like slams the door and runs out. And we call him Pedro. Pedro got up and opened up and went after this guy and starts going off on him in Spanish. And we're all like, where did that come from? Now, mind you, Pedro looks like the run-of-the-mill average black guy. Like, he doesn't look like, you know, my man speaking Spanish. I'm just being real. He just doesn't look like that guy that speaks Spanish. Yeah. But he completely goes off and we're like, what's going on? He comes back and he's all like, you know, frantic, and we get him to calm down. And we're like, dude, you never told us that you spoke Spanish. And he was like, you never asked.
Never asked.
He said, you never asked. Hmm. So with that, we get towards the end of the story. And it's, you know, at this point in the story, nobody had ever asked Jesus to just say a word. Nobody had, you know, up until that, it was, you know, lay hands and come and see this person and come and see that person. But the centurion at this moment figured out that, you know what, Jesus, I don't need you to come to my house. I don't need it. I just need you to say the word. And it's done.
Yeah.
So some questions just to wrap up.
Yeah, Byron, before we ask the questions here, I just wonder today, just in my heart today, wondering, is there someone out there that just needs Jesus to just say a word? And you've been holding back for all kinds of reasons. Your past, when you talk about, you know, holding back because of your past and your rooms, I wonder if some of you are holding back because of your present. It's not stuff way back in the past. It's stuff right now. Where does Jesus just need to say a word? Give us those two questions to wrap us up here today.
So what do you need to ask Jesus for? And where does Jesus need to say a word?
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, we already talked about, you know, the being unworthy. We already talked about the rooms that you may be still not opening up just yet.
Yeah.
But where can Jesus right now in your life speak a word that he can come in and touch and open up? And again, we kind of said it already, but it may not be something that'll happen overnight.
Yeah.
It may not be something that'll happen in the next 90 days. But I think if you open that door up, if you open up that area of your life, Jesus can start to work.
Well, and I think, too, it may not turn out exactly how you hope it does, too. There's other stories in the Bible where at one time they brought a guy who couldn't walk to Jesus to heal him. And Jesus looks at the guy who's been paralyzed and says, your sins are forgiven or gone. That's not why we're here, Jesus. We want our buddy, our friend to walk again. But Jesus knows, look, I got other things that are, sometimes when we come to things with Jesus, we just need to come to Jesus and go, I just need you to say a word here. I need you to do something here to provide hope, healing, home, restoration, whatever that is. And I know, because I've been talking to some of you. I've been looking at Facebook and Instagram and social media feeds and just know there's stuff out there. Our band's going to come up right now. We're going to give you a chance to sing together again, to reflect on that, to text us. Maybe some of those places where you just wish God would say a word about your health. Say a word about your marriage. Say a word to break through into somebody's life in a way that he just hasn't yet. Byron, thanks for what you did here today for us.
Thank you for having me.
Putting all this together for us and giving me a chance to be up here with you. But I don't know what that is. I'm going to move this back over here. Stay up here. We're going to pray and wrap this up and wrap it out. The connection card we told you about a few minutes ago, please take some time right now and scan that in, fill that out. Let us know how we can pray for you. Maybe know some situations where you go, man, I would just love it if I could just go to Jesus and I could just say, look, you don't need to show up at my house. That's what prayer is right now, all of us. That's the spirit of what prayer is right now. Jesus, we're not worthy to have you come to our house, but you don't have to actually be there physically. Just say the word. Jesus, today there's people here that are struggling. There's some of us maybe that aren't struggling. What is in my heart right now is there's people that I know that are struggling. So God, whether it's my own issues where I'm struggling, or I've got an employee, a friend, a son or a daughter, a spouse, someone in my small group who is being grievously tormented by something. Today, God, we're coming to you boldly. We want you to be amazed by our faith that says that we don't need to be dramatic and crazy and weird and wild. Just say the word and break through and break in to however and whatever you want to do in those things we're bringing to you right here, right now. Amen.